And we're more than happy to take your call, answer your question, give you some advice, or just hang up on you. Who knows what's going to happen today? It's all kind of crazy, but we're going to have some fun doing it today. Again, Brad and Dan, thanks for coming down, guys. Always love to host the show. It's easy for me. I don't have any homework to do, and and I'm a curious guy, so I have a lot of questions, and, you know, I like to tinker around with my house like everybody else. So, you know, always fun to have you guys come on and have the expert opinion so I can at least, you know, keep my roof on my house or something like that.
Right,
so.
Right.
Especially in today's world. So
yeah, especially in today's world. Well, I'll tell you what. So let's just hit into it right now. You know, we've just had this really ungodly amount of rain here the last, I don't know what, year it seems like, because every day it just completely just rains, downpours. I mean, this has got to be wreaking havoc on your house. I mean, I would think.
Definitely is. I think everybody they're in storm fatigue mode at this point in time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like, really, another round, and here we are this afternoon. But, you know, water is probably the house's worst enemy, too.
Right, I mean, exactly.
It starts at the top and goes down. And I had a client send me a picture this week that we're gearing up to do a basement, and they had so much water outside. It was a river between the two houses. Already had the waterproofing stuff done, and we're contemplating, like, what's the next step that we can do to plan for this to halfway up the basement window.
That's what at Casa Damon, that's what we had. I mean, when we first moved in, we kind of live at the bottom of a hill, and mm-hmm. our neighbors behind us are up on a hill, and it was like two rivers. In fact, one side of it is, I call it, my next door neighbor, I call it Lake, you know, whatever his last name is.
Yeah.
And but literally, it's like two rivers going all the way out to the street, and we had to have our basement waterproofed and taken care of because of that.
Yeah.
And I know, especially in St. Charles County, I mean, the soil's not all the best there is.
No, and I think that also we're just hearing people, you know, I've lived here for 20 years and never had water issues, and that's something that is just being created with all this amount of water that we're having in short periods of time, just wreaking havoc on everybody. But you know, it's gearing us up, and what we have to do is go out and help evaluate and see how we can solve those problems and come up with answers to alleviate any water issues. And there's typically an answer, but you know, it takes some energy and some investment to get there for sure.
Well, I mean, this obviously has to be a great time to, you know, even though it's raining, go outside with the umbrella and walk around your house and look at your gutters, make sure, you know, obviously everybody thinks about their roof and things like that, but we really need to get that water away from the house. Soil keeps 100%. Moving all around your house all the time, and, you know, there's a lot of issues with basements cracking, things like that, but really the water management, move that water away from the house.
Yeah, and it's just also conditions. I mean, there's a lot of infill houses going in and that kinds of stuff, and you notice what your neighbor did. Also putting water off in a different way, or how that house was built. We see a number of those things too, and creeping up, and how water is being rerouted. And it can be not just right next door to you, but further up the line where somebody's done some stuff around, and it changes where all that stuff goes. And that stuff then gets into your house, and you have the problem that you have to worry about and manage and get things done to improve. But getting the water away, figuring that out with downspouts and piping that stuff underground. And, you know, water in basements typically starts outside. It starts at the top, starts on your roof, clogged gutters. You know, how's the water coming down there? How is it being managed? How are you piping 10, 15 feet away from your house? You can put a sump pump in, but you might just be servicing the problem versus eliminating it, you know? Sump pumps are great insurance policies to make sure that, you know, you don't have that big flood in your basement. But when the electricity goes out and pump stops working, or you don't have battery backup, you have other issues.
Oh, absolutely. I've got two sump pumps in my house. So, you know, that's just to manage the waterway. But the original one, you know, they laid that drain tile in on the outside, obviously gets clogged, and now the sump pump doesn't work. That's why they end up putting the other one in with the basement the water management system that's in the basement. Mm-hmm. For folks that maybe have an older home that maybe has that drain tile with a sump pump, I mean, how do you know that drain tile can become clogged, or what should you do?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, drain tile, a lot of it's, you know, newer systems have gutter systems in them. They can fill up with soil. They can, especially on the outside one. It's hard to tell if it's clogged, right? I don't know that any camera system per se, but you know, you should be looking in the bottom of that pit and seeing what's in there too. Regular maintenance on that sump pump is a key function and one of the services that we do offer and looking at. So you know, and the other things too is you're looking at battery backups and systems now that
right.
make these things much more reliable. Because usually with said storm comes electricity issues. While the battery backup only works for a period of time, it usually does cover you for, you know, the time that the power's out. And unless we have these absolute extreme conditions, which we have seen, and unfortunately with tornado victims and all that kinds of stuff, that's a different matter. You're at a different level there.
I'll tell you a funny story. When before I had the basement water management system put in, my sump pump, my electricity went out, my sump pump went off, and I mean, it was completely pouring down rain. Well, obviously, being the auto guy that I am, you know, I go get my power inverter, hook it up, start my truck up,
right,
put
right.
jumper cables on my truck to the run into the power inverter, and then run it all the way down the yep. basement with a bunch of extension cords to get the
get
sump
that
pump
going.
Work. Yeah, you know, because it certainly didn't want the basement flooding. I mean, that's obviously a very costly thing. And
no, there's a number of houses in this town that sit on top of springs, and those pumps just run all the time. I mean, it doesn't take rainwater to get them going. If you've got water in your basement, you could be sitting on top of a spring where they, especially now, even as water levels come up, those can become more of an activity that where they've set dormant.
Oh, absolutely.
For a while, right? The water table's pushing that higher, so now it's becoming an issue, and pumps are running more, and people are like, it's not even raining outside, and these pumps just keep running. I'm like, it's water table. It's just coming down. It's trickling through. You have a hole in the ground, water will find it. That's the story. So, Dan, I mean, I think you, from a maintenance side, what do you see there?
That was bringing Dan.
Yeah.
Dan Martin, he's from the handyman division of Mosby. And so, Dan, you know, this is something, especially now, it's just like on your car. People don't think about their windshield wipers till it rains. So same type of deal with their sump pumps.
Yeah.
You know, they don't think like, hey, better go check the sump pump.
Right.
But that's probably something that needs to be done, what, every couple of weeks, once a month?
Yeah, you can look at that kind of time frame. You can, when it's raining outside, maybe go down, watch it work. You know, you can also test it. You can take a bucket of water down there and dump it in the pit and watch it eject. You know, check the check valves. The check valve keeps the water out of the pipe. You know, keeps it ejected outside of the house. You know, and watch where that water goes. So just inspecting it, also knowing how old the sump pump is, because they say that you should replace them every, 7 years, I think. So if it's getting old and you don't know, you know, it's definitely time to look at the inspection sticker on that pump to see what year it was manufactured.
I'll tell you, I'm kind of a freak about that, about sump pumps and fire and smoke alarms.
Yep.
I test them constantly, and it's just because I'm wacky like that.
Right. Well, not everybody's wacky like that.
Well, so. You know, and that's how I learned about the sump pump. Went down to inspect my sump pump after about, I think we lived there in about a year.
Yeah.
Worked fine till then. Went down, found out that, hey, my sump pump's not working, and put water in it, didn't work.
Yep.
Raised the float level, didn't work. And I'm like, hey, I better go replace this. And,
yeah. It can be, I mean, major cost, you know, involved with that. I inspected a house not long ago, a really nice house. One sump pump, and it went out with the rain that we had, and the whole lower level, carpet, wood floor, you know, wine cellar, everything ruined. So it's, I mean, one thing like that can really mess it up for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was going to ask you guys also, you know, I remember my dad bought a house, and he had a sump pump pit, but there was no sump pump. There was no tubes going to it. It was just a concrete. It was just full concrete, but I never knew that. Why would they put a sump pump pit if you weren't going to have the
maybe they forgot.
Yeah. Maybe so. I don't know.
There was a time, too, that a lot of people just put pits in for hydrostatic.
Right.
Right. Okay. They were just doing water relief, that you would get pressure coming up through that floor. And then we've progressed into real full systems, gutter systems underneath there that are, you know, bringing the water to. A lot of new houses have gravel underneath them versus older houses have clay soil, right? The water doesn't permeate through that. A gravel bottom underneath that floor lets water filter through as well and find its way to the pump, not being trapped. So,
Dan, I wanted to ask you, you know, you talked about, hey, you know, maintaining your sump pump, go out, watch where it expels the water and things like that. You know, a lot of it, like with our water management system in our basement, it was kind of like a little pop-up thing that would pop up and eject the water out when the sump pump kicked on.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's something, if you don't think about it for a couple of years, your grass starts growing over top of it. Now you may have an issue to where you can expel that water right. out, and that's going to cause a whole other problem.
Some people don't even know where it is. If the grass grows over it, you know, if you're trimming the yard and you kind of keep going over it, you lose track of it. So, yeah, if you're maintaining it, you'd go out there and you'd pull the little top of that off and reach down in there and start pulling out debris, you know, getting rid of that,
sure.
and then testing it again, putting water back through it with a garden hose, and watching where it ejects and make sure that everything is working and getting away from the house. You know, or, you know, when you look at a PVC pipe that comes out of a sump pump, sometimes it'll dump right next to the house and then create another little pit there, and the water comes right back in. So sometimes you have to extend, like in gutters and downspouts, extend them farther, keep that water away from the house.
Yeah, and I would think that a lot of people don't really even think about cleaning their gutters out.
Right.
And this is when they're really wreaking havoc on your home.
Yeah.
And you say they should be, what, 10 feet away from the house?
At least 10, I think, is a good number. If you can get a little farther, you know, yes.
Yeah.
Pop-ups are, quite honestly, if you can avoid them and you can just daylight stuff is great, because pop-ups themselves, right, get grass and things growing over them. But, you know, if you have that flatter area, pop-ups are necessary. Nobody wants to step in that hole and do anything, but they're really kind of a necessary evil situation,
yeah.
I think. The other thing we were talking about, that pipe, I was going to say, too, there's a lot of these sump pump systems that got put in and don't have check valves, and people are like, man, that thing just keeps running. If you don't have that check valve, that water just drains back in there, falls in the pump when it's going heavily.
Yeah.
Check valve.
You know, and people are like, man, this thing just doesn't stop running. There's so much noise, and it's that check valve really lets that thing pump the water out, and then it'll stop, right, instead of letting it run back down in there. And you know, a lot of systems out there without right. check valves
right.
on them, which they should have had, but maybe they got installed without it.
So. Is that probably new code or something like that?
Probably maybe a little bit newer code, but I think it's been in place for a long time. But if somebody self did a sump pump system or something,
right.
didn't know to put that on, and it's just an inline flap, right, that just allows that water to not come back into the pit, stays up in the pipe, and drains out naturally.
So let's talk a little about the battery backup systems, because I think this is something that many folks, especially even some of the older homeowners, don't even realize that they
right.
should have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, as we talked about, the electricity goes out in your house, especially, you know, I live in St. Charles County, so most of our stuff's underground. We don't have a lot of power outages per
mm-hmm.
se, but, you know, if you have lines up on poles around your house, like when we used to live in Florissant, our power would go out all the time.
Yep.
And that's something that, hey, you know, you have a potential to ruin something in your house if you can't expel this water. So
mm-hmm.
If you guys can talk a little about that, I think that'd be great.
Well, I think, you know, you start at the top, like you said, you know, gutters and downspouts, you know, debris gets clogged up, you know, in the screens and the gutters and everything. So I don't know. I guess if you'd have to run an extension cord from your neighbor's house, I don't know, or a generator, backup generator. People do that a lot. So
you
can add those and add a backup battery to your sump pump.
Yeah, the battery systems are a system. You have two different. You have an AC and a DC pump in there. So when the one goes out, it switches over to the battery pump. Different varying levels of this. If you travel a lot and you have a sump pump in your basement and you get water, you should put a battery sump pump system in, because you just never know when Mother Nature's going to strike. Not horrible, but you do end up replacing that pump typically in the pit and putting the system in there with a dual pump system.
Right.
You know, there's different levels of battery power. How long do you want that stuff to run?
These batteries, you know, I'll speak from the automotive side. I mean, these batteries are deep cycle, mm-hmm. you know, like marine batteries. Type stuff, to where it's used to being, because you always have it on a trickle charger. It always charges itself
Correct.
Back up, depletes it, charges it back up.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also something still on this battery maintenance now.
Right.
You've got a battery inside your house. When it charges up or starts to get old, could also leak gas into your
sure,
house, you
sure.
know, from the lead acid that's mm-hmm. in the acid that's in the between the lead plates.
Uh-huh.
But that battery is going to fail at some point in time,
right.
and this just has to be some part of your maintenance as well.
Correct. You're checking it and maintaining it.
Yeah, yeah. The batteries last, you know, a certain amount of time depending on what type of battery it is, you know. And so also the power supply that's charging the battery, sometimes those are on GFCIs. And so I inspected a house the other day that had been tripped because there was some, you know, flash.
Sure.
And then I went in, and so the battery had not been charged because the GFCI was kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just going down and checking it out and looking for the little light that says green. And then, you know, green is good. So, and then, yeah, putting a date on the battery.
So yeah,
putting a date on the battery.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And most batteries, I tell you what, I can tell you from the automotive side, if your battery lasts, I don't care what kind of battery you buy, if you get 3 years out of a battery here in the Midwest, that's doing good because of all the extreme temperatures that that we see.
Agreed.
Hey, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show here. I have Brad Hagan and also Dan Martin in the house answering all your questions. We would love for you to join us. Here's the phone numbers, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We're going to take a little pause here. We'll be back right after these. Stick around. More to come on the Home Improvement Show.
Once again, Rich Orris.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. It's KMOX FM 104.1. This is the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris taking a little time off. I think he's vacationing somewhere. I'm not sure. I think he went out to Las Vegas, probably putting it all down on red, but that's just my opinion. Rich Orris not here. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair. I can't answer your questions, but I got some great people from Mosby here in the house answering all your questions. Dan Martin, he is from the Handyman Division, the service and maintenance side, and Brad Hagan, he is a home consultant. Again, if you want to join us, we would love to talk to you. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. And guys, during break, got a text message from my good friend Greg Sissel, and he wanted to know, he said, hey, I've got a sump pump, but no pump in it, and there's always about 2 inches of water in it, never goes up, never goes down, and is there anything that he should be concerned about?
I mean, a pit with no pump, sometimes a concern because you have a pit, you probably should put a pump in it to make sure that water gets out of there. But it's not unusual that you have a pit and have water in the bottom of it. I do attribute that, I think, a lot to water table. Naturally, the water table may come up and fill that thing up and sit there. Depending on age of the house, again, as I said earlier with rock, I mean, you could have rock underneath there that's allowing water to do that. Plus, you could be sitting in a particular level and location that water's draining still outside the back of your house. But, you know, in these big torrential rains, if you have a pit, probably should put a pump in and use it to make sure you have that security insurance policy in place at this point in time.
Well, even if you have the pump in there, though, it still doesn't completely get all the water out of the pit.
That's true. I mean, it does sit in there because that pump doesn't sit all the way in the bottom of that that pit. So
there's your answer, Greg. Hopefully it helped out. I tell you what, we got some folks on hold here. Let's go to the phones, and how about we talk to Chris. Hey, Chris, guess what? You're first up today. You got the pole position on the Home Improvement Show.
Woo-hoo! Hopefully I can win. Thanks.
That's right.
Hey, guys, a couple of things I was thinking about. Earlier, there you guys were talking about sump pits with no pump in them. In older homes, that's not uncommon because at one point the code said you have to have a pit but no pump. And now it's changed, I believe, to where you have to have the pump in the pit. But I know there's tons of houses. I've been looking at houses for years and living in them that's not uncommon. The other question I had is I'm trying to run. I have a rock road that's running down through a pasture, and then I also have a asphalt driveway, and I'm trying to get the water to group up and go under the rock instead of going over it and wash it out on the rock road. And then on the asphalt driveway, I dug a big hole to hold the water, but it's not big enough. So I'm kind of curious on those. What are reasonable solutions? Because I'm going to be driving a tractor over it, and sometimes I have a dump truck bring in rock and spread it and things like that. So kind of looking for some ideas of something that won't crush when I replace, especially the rock one, but the asphalt one as well.
I would look around opportunities that you can, put some culvert pipe, especially underneath the gravel rock that allows that water to go underneath there. In these heavy rains, the water rushing across the gravel is always going to, create its path and rut it and whatnot growing up in a in a scenario where I had a gravel, long gravel driveway and a tractor and got to regrade that thing all the time.
Yeah.
You know that, but you look for those places that you can force that water to go under, and go underneath that. That's a little bit more difficult with your pavement scenario, right? But your gravel, you could remove a section and get that to go underneath there, if that makes sense. I mean, there's culvert pipe out there, 12 inches, in regards to whether it's a poly product or a metal product. It's an investment level at that point in time of what you would purchase.
All right, Chris, appreciate the phone call. And folks, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120, going all the way till Cardinal Baseball on KMOX and on KFDK. We'll be going all the way till 1 o'clock today. Again, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. So I guess, you know, we've been talking about the rain and what it kind of does to that. We talked about going outside, taking a walk around your house, and this is really where you should really probably start looking at your windows, maybe your siding. I mean, obviously, I know your roof, that's kind of tough to get to, but just taking a look around, making sure
that's why
you
call Sam, though.
Right.
Yeah, and have them come look at your roof.
Right.
Right.
Get a home evaluation on your home for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, that's it's just like your car. I mean, to me, that's something that everybody should do probably once a year, having somebody coming out and just saying, hey, just want to look up, make sure everything's okay.
Yep.
You know, if you have some potential problems, and let's kind of find a way to let's try to find a way what we're going to do to alleviate this.
Sure. So. Yeah. A lot of people don't even know where to start. You know, they don't even own a ladder. You know, they have never, you know, been experienced with something like this, so they need an eye, somebody that can come out with an eye or binoculars or whatever a trained eye to find out, you know, is there a problem, could there be a problem, like maybe a gutter is falling off your house and you didn't even know, you know, or, you know, fascia or soffit pulling down and then water comes straight down the house into the foundation, you know. So you got to keep an eye on it for sure.
I mean, when I was younger, I'd get up on the roof. There'd be no problem. Now right. I'm like, I'm not getting the ladder out because
yeah.
I'm too shaky. I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, it's not for everybody.
You know, I've seen some roofing companies do it with a drone. Get out yep. there with a drone and take a look.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's something that you could have some flashing around the chimney, or you may not know that you have an issue.
Yep.
A vent that could be leaking in your attic and it hasn't come all the way through the ceiling yet.
Right.
Something like
right.
that. So,
yeah.
What about windows and stuff like that? What should folks look out for windows?
Well, you know, caulking around the window, caulking will dry up and crack and, you know, allow water in, you know, seals, broken latches that the window isn't sealed all the way. Sometimes the window doesn't latch down all the way because of how it sits in there. You know, the latch will keep it from latching, if you know what I'm saying. So the window might not seat all the way. So it's just kind of working the window, you know, and just inspecting it, you know, and seeing if you can, you know, spot any flaws, you know.
Well, I mean, what about, you know, lifetime windows? That shouldn't have anything ever to do in your rest of your lifetime, right?
Yeah, but
I'm being devil's advocate.
Every window has a lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Door,
yeah.
A window, we have a lifetime.
Yeah.
Right? So lifetime is, you know, there's a lot of parallels here between car and house at 3,000 miles, 5,000 miles, whatever that you have this maintenance
sure,
check.
Absolutely.
I think that parallel works. I think the other thing is, as we just said, new eyes, fresh eyes looking at stuff, because we do become blind to certain things as we walk around our house, like, ah, that's fine. That's, you know, and having that trained eye look at things and understand kind of what's the further damage that's happening by not taking care of this. So there's that. That's this protection of the inner part of your house and understanding, you know, whether it's windows, whether it's roof, inside attic areas, do you have adequate insulation up there in today's world? I mean, there's so many elements that you're not looking at regularly on your house that something like this, and having that trained eye come out and regularly check it for you and make a plan. Make a plan together on how you're going to treat these things and take care of it. But you know, windows is one example, right? We have all these vinyl and fiberglass windows out there that says there's a lifetime, but there's still elements that the window might be fine, but the caulk around it is you know, deteriorated to a point where it's letting in window. I just recently had to replace some rotten wood around my particular windows. You know, the hail just finally took its time with it, and So I've gone to PVC because at the point in time when I did them originally, I didn't have that option to put the PVC trims around those windows and make it more maintenance free for myself and create that environment and identify these things. So healthy plan. You know, we also talked about getting up on the roof and the person who doesn't have the ladder. There are plenty of people too that have done this through their lifetime checking, and they've got to that place where it's not safe for them to go check these things on a regular basis. And you still want to do it. You want to take care of your house. You want to make sure that it's adequately performing as it should. And, you know, hire a professional to come out and take a look at that for you in a safe way, and check those things out for you so you don't have a bigger problem.
Hey, this is the Home Improvement Show. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair. We got Brad Hagan and Dan Martin from Mosby hanging out with us, answering all your questions. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We're going to take another break, but we'll be back on the other side. Again, give us a call, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120.
KMOX.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. It is 1134 in the heart of Mid-America, and you're listening to the Home Improvement Show here on KMOX FM 104.1. Rich Orris taking some time off today. Greg Damon hanging out with you. But you know I can't help you out with your home improvement questions. I got some great folks in the house, and they're taking all your phone calls, answering all your questions. Brad Hagan, he's the home consultant, and Dan Martin, he runs the handyman division, the service and maintenance side of Mosby. And they're just fantastic guys. Give us a call, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We got Mary Kay on hold. Let's go ahead and talk to her. Hey, guess what, Mary Kay? You're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi.
I'm doing really well. I accidentally found your station, and I love it.
Perfect.
So I live somewhere that's at least 65 years old, and I wanted to know, if it's important to have your vents cleaned out.
Oh, that's a great question.
Are we talking about like dryer vents or like HVAC vents?
No, like the vents that carry the AC or the heat in the house.
Duct cleaning, things like that.
Yeah.
The ducts, yeah.
We looked into it. You know, it's minimal expense.
Yeah.
And then I looked at it online, and I thought I had a good source, and they said it doesn't do anything.
Well, I think it depends on the house. You know, if there's a history of mold or pets or just bad filtration.
You had a pet, sure.
Yeah. Well, those things can add up, I think, in a vent. You know, so if you can find a good company to run their system through it, you know, and then and get it cleaned up, and you know, I don't think it would hurt, you know, to get it done if you can find a good company. So.
I think this technology's gone a long way and cleaning those vents. But Dan brought up another scenario that a lot of those vent companies also do clean dryer vents and things of that nature, which should be cleaned regularly. I mean, that's fire hazard territory for dryers if they are clogged. But also,
so we get that done every year two times. Oh, one when they go through for the air conditioning and one for the heating.
Yeah, so. But the cleaning of the air conditioning vents, I mean, if you have floor vents, you open those things up, you see all that stuff down in there. I think it's helpful. I think it can be very cleaning air quality and stuff for your units, getting those clean. So especially if your house is dated in 65 years.
Yeah.
My dad is the person that would pay for it.
Yeah.
How would I convince him, do you think? I mean, I know that's not part of your show, but
I think it's better air quality. And performance for your unit, right? You will extend the life of your unit by not having as much dirt in the systems.
And he's doing a lot of updates. So. Like, I was interested in hearing your window story because we're just now, I've been here about 15 years. It's a condominium. We're just now doing the windows. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited because in the winter, there's just certain windows that really let in a lot of cold.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, we can take a look at the windows. We don't have a vent cleaning business, but we definitely can give us a call at 314-909-1800, and we'll take a look at that project for you.
If we left the vents, the air conditioning vents, not clean, what kind of things are happening? Like you're saying, they may be blowing out mold or...
Well, dust definitely settles inside there, and it just kind of recollects and keeps blowing back through your house. You know, especially during the winter, you keep your house shut up most of the time. There's nowhere for that to expel. So, I mean, I think it's a great service. We've had it done to our house three times. Yeah. So I think it's a great service.
Okay, well, I really appreciate that.
All right, Mary Kay, thanks so much for the phone call. We certainly appreciate that. And if you guys got any questions, go ahead and give the number again. If you have any questions, they can call you guys.
314-909-1800 is Mosby Building Arts, and we'd love to come out and take a look for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the things that I kind of wanted to get back to. We kind of touched on a little bit, and Dan, this is really more for you with the handyman division. But really, as we said, having somebody come out that is – not somebody that lives in your house to take a look at it. And the reason I bring that up, excuse me, the reason I bring that up is, you know, hey, at my house, our kids play sports and we're doing this and I come home from work and we drop this and we pick right. this up and we go. And next thing you know, it's 9 o'clock at night. Yep. We get home, you know, and on the weekends we're running to the bank and we're doing this and we're doing that and we've got games. And so, you know, you really don't have time
right.
to take a real good look or a really watchful eye around your house. And this might be something that, excuse me, this might be something that, especially if you've got older parents living in a house or people staying longer in their house,
right.
Just come out and just kind of give a consultation on like, hey, you know, this is what I'm seeing, and you may need a roof in 5 years, or hey, we recommend the duct cleaning, or whatever and whatever.
Right, yeah. You know, we look at all every aspect of the house. We look at the exterior, the interior, you know, plumbing, electrical, and we may spot things that like you said, you know, life gets in the way, and you didn't notice, you know, this or that, you know, that you've got a leaking plumbing trap in the kitchen and eventually going to leak in the basement and, you know, cause drywall problems or whatever, but... Or getting on a ladder and getting up and looking at the flashing or the, you know, the tuck pointing on the brick, you know, just like you said, getting that eye on it that people just don't have time or, you know, just never get around to, you know. So a lot of these things, you know, can, as we know, develop into bigger problems. And then, you know, pretty soon you have to remodel all the plumbing in the bathroom or the kitchen because of one leak that lasted 10 years. You know, maybe sure. your parents didn't notice it. So
no, absolutely.
And the SAM program, you can get for your parents. You can get it for your brother. You can pass it around. So,
and this is like a subscription type service.
Yeah. It's like a subscription. It's a handyman service. You know, some people just need a handyman. You know, when I worked in the hardware stores, people would come in and ask if we knew a handyman, and we would have some business cards, and we would say, well, here's some guys that shop here, you know, we don't really know them, you know, but they seem like nice people, but you can try to give them a call, you know. With Mosby, we have, you know, reputable people that we can send out, you know, and people know the name. So you know, we'll come out, you know, there's a subscription fee that they pay, and they can get on our program. And we have a 49-point system that we cover on the house, and just like you said, get eyes on all parts of the house, inside and outside.
Well, you know, when you go to buy a house, I mean, everybody wants to have a home inspection done right. on your house, right? Hey, what potential problems am I going to have? I'm going to put down, well, today, who knows, $500,000 for a house, right. the way house prices go. But, you know, I'm going to lay down all this money. I want to have it looked at to see if, you know, maybe there's termite damage. Maybe, you know, the basement's been flooded or whatever. Well, kind of the same thing. You know, we've lived in our house 26 years, 27 years. And you know, I try to keep up on the maintenance and things like that, but I guarantee you there's stuff that I miss.
There is. I mean, a home inspection is usually a very thorough process by companies that do that. You know, SAM is an evaluation of the house, so we don't really get, you know, we don't, you know, crawl, you know, behind walls and all that, but just an overall, you know, evaluation of the home. And it doesn't really take that long. It only takes a couple of hours to go through the house with the client and write up a handyman list. You know, we'll come up with some items that you didn't notice, and then you'll usually have a list also. We put the two lists together, and then we knock them out.
And we're taking pictures and documenting things and creating, you know, I think the biggest thing is that trained eye. We have been exposed to so many different home problems that you look at something and you just don't realize all the layers that are going on behind something of not taking care of it. But also then, you know, just having a set of pictures where you know where your house is at that point in time, and then you see how bad something gets a year later. And documenting and understanding that stuff.
It can be something simple like just air filters in your house. You know, if you ask the average person, what size is your air filter? No idea. You know, where is it? Don't even know. Don't even know where it is. So we get in there, we'll pull the filter. And, you know, some people are like really surprised because it's like a lint screen
right.
in your dryer. And they're like, oh, my God, that's, you know, there's a it's really dirty because they have pets or whatever. Or kids that are just dirty, you know. So, you know, and so you know, we'll.
Why are you looking at me when
I'm not looking at you? What are you talking? But you know, just a lot of it's just simple stuff that people just are not aware of, and so that's where we come in. We'll take a look at it for you and make notes, communicate with you, like Brad said, have a report with pictures on it that lets you know where the points are that need attention. Or where they don't, you know, so, and then we'll build, like I said, build a handyman list and then send our handyman out to knock it out.
I mean, I think that's just a fantastic thing for peace of mind.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's the most expensive thing you're going to have in your possession.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're close to paying it off or you're just started. I mean, I would want to know like, hey, what kind of extra money am I going to have to, you know, shell out? What kind of potential problems may I have? What can I do to avoid those problems and make sure that it's going to be a good livable situation for me and my family?
And this investment helps your home hold value, right? You're keeping it in its best state and preventing, you know, some of those deeper damages that could cost you a lot of money and maybe you need to sell it. Well, you've avoided some of those things by keeping maintenance on top of it and taking care of it just like a car, right? Holds better value.
If
you can show proof that you did the oil changes regularly, had things done as the manufacturer suggests, this is going to do the same thing for your house as well.
And I would assume, and I don't want to get into a big topic about insurance, but I would assume that's going to be beneficial for your insurance because if you have a major catastrophe, 9 times out of 10, your insurance company is probably going to drop you after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, it's just peace of mind for the homeowner. One less thing that I would have to worry about or my family would have to worry about, especially, you know, if somebody in your family, the husband or wife travels a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is just something that I don't know. For me,
as these bigger things are happening, right, and houses are getting, you know, because of Mother Nature or whatever, you know, if you have a fire in your house, you've got this frozen amount of time where you took pictures. You know when the roof was done.
Right.
You know when the HVAC system was installed. You know and document this stuff. It's much easier to go to the insurance company and say, here's all the things, versus not having all that stuff documented and having to search and find it. And maybe you lost that stuff in your catastrophe that happened, unfortunately.
But, yeah, because if you try to rely on memory, you're never going to know. I had a guy that had a tire issue and said he bought them from his last year, and it turned out he bought them in 2019. It just slipped his mind of when it was.
Yeah.
Well, we got to take another break real quick, but we're going to come back. We'd love for you to join us. Here's the phone numbers, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show here on KMOX FM 104.1. We'll be back right after these. Welcome back, everybody, on this fine Saturday. That's right. It is the Home Improvement Show here on KMOX FM 104.1. Rich Orr is taking some time off. Greg Damon hanging out with you. I can't answer your questions, but I got Brad Hagan and Dan Martin from Mosby. They're hanging out. They're answering all your questions. We'd love for you to join us. Here's the number. Super easy. It's real easy to do. If you got a question, give us a call, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers. If you want to get on, we got time for some open phone lines. But Dan, I kind of wanted to get back to you. We were talking about some service and maintenance and stuff like that, about looking around your house. One thing that I wanted to ask is, what about the water heater? To me, that is something that a lot of folks, out of mind, out of sight, don't think about it.
Right.
But is there maintenance? You know, I've heard good and bad about draining water heaters, not draining water heaters, and the shelf life of that.
Yeah, so you know, I've had people ask me, you know, it's like I want to drain my water heater because I want to make sure it's clean and ready to rock all the time. Typically, they say not to drain the water heater after about 3 years because of the sediment, calcium, things like that build up inside the tank. And you would have no idea how much sediment gets built up inside of these tanks unless you went on YouTube like I do and spend a half a day watching people clean, you know, water heaters. So because I'm a nerd, but but it's, you know, if it builds up too long, then it's not going to function properly, especially if it's electric water heater, because you have elements in there and they get corroded as well. So you definitely want to keep an eye on when it was manufactured and how long it's been in your house, like installed. So they do make little valves that you can put on the drain of the water heater that will push water up inside the tank to break up the sediment and then let it drain out, you know. But a lot of times if you just leave it alone.
I've seen that on TV.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. if you just let it go and just keep an eye on it and look at the outside of the tank and make sure that it's not rusting on the bottom. If the internal tank rusts and fails, then the water heater is pretty much done at that point. So if you've got a water heater that's, you know, 10, 12 years old, that's probably at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, it can go a little bit longer, but I mean, you're on borrowed time at some point in time there,
about
right?
10, where
you're
about 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, 10, 15 years, I think you should start looking at and watching the performance. So a few other things with water heaters, you got some, you have a valve on the side, TMP valve that's a pressure or, you know, pops off if the pressure builds up too high. People have seen that water on the floor. And if that's happening, you definitely should have somebody come out, take a look at it and service that water heater, because something's not performing right if that valve is going off. It's releasing the pressure out of there because that thing's building up or getting too hot or whatever it is that's not.
Well, I'd assume at some point in time the seals would end up leaking, because we had one that kind of dripped every once in a while out of it, and that just because of the age of it.
Yeah. And a lot of times at the top, right, you get not just the seals, but you have the dielectric unions at the top, because you have this break between copper and the metal, and that's trying to help prevent corrosion. But a lot of them do corrode, and you can get that where that starts leaking, and you should be, you know, looking at that and servicing it. Water heaters now have a pressure tank on top of there. If you get a new water heater by code, you're going to get that pressure tank put on there, and that's to help balance and deal with the pressure of the water in your house and balance that. So there's a lot of other things that come along with a new water heater to service and maintain as well, just as the tank ones. Right. So
what about like putting a new anode rod in there is that recommended or?
Yeah. A lot of people that have, you know, rural settings where they're on a well, they have really hard water. And
we're in St. Charles. We have super hard water.
There you do. There you do. So the anode, some people are like, what's an anode rod? You know, it's a metal rod, typically, I guess, aluminum.
Sacrificial.
I mean, that the elements will attack it, will attack this metal instead of the inside of your tank. So also you'll notice it because sometimes your water gets smelly, like sulfury or whatever. A lot of times it means the anode rod that's inside there is trashed. So you can replace those, you know,
I've just seen them where they've just been, again, watching YouTube.
Right.
Because I do the same thing.
Right, right.
But, you know, where they're just corroded and worn, you know, worn half off.
Yeah, it looks pretty gnarly, I think.
Sometimes it doesn't take very long for that to happen. I mean, depending on your water conditions and the life of it. And I think that, you know, there's probably a lot of listeners out there that don't just have tank water heaters, they have tankless water heaters, and those tankless water heaters they require some maintenance. I mean, you should be annually flushing those out, typically using, you know, Lime Away type product or something, because you're trying to get that calcium out of those versus a tank one. It does settle in the bottom and the sediment doesn't affect you as much, but the tankless, that sediment or that calcium can hurt the performance of a tankless water heater over time, and maybe not get the life out of it that you
would. So, you know, I mean, that's always been a question of mine. I've had to replace my water heater twice. I'm probably another 2-3 years from replacing it again. Is that something that may be a viable option? I don't want you to say what's one's better, which one's worse, but, you know, whether having a tankless or a tank water heater, I mean, I'd imagine 90% of the homes have a tank water heater.
I would say yes. I mean, I think there's a lot of tankless that goes on in this town. I think a lot of people use them and they perform well. I think the biggest challenge with tankless in this town is they're usually not sized maybe up large enough as they are up further north. And what happened in the winter is our water temperature drops because of being cold. And so those performance of that water heater is challenged during the winter. And sometimes you see people put them in and take them out because they're just not getting as much hot water as they typically would.
Yeah, I got two young men in my house that, you know,
long showers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Laundry.
Well, folks, it's going to just about wrap up our number one here on the Home Improvement Show. Brad Hagan, Dan Martin, we're going to be all here all next hour as well, answering your questions. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. So we just got some news. We'll be back after the top of the news. Stick around. More to come. Hey, welcome, everybody. Hour number two of the Home Improvement Show. here on KFTK and KMOX FM. Hey, we got some great people inside. Well, I should start off by saying my name is Greg Damon. Rich Orris taking a little time off. I have Brad Hagan, Dan Martin from Mosby. They're hanging out with us. They're answering all your questions. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers. If you want to get on, we'd love to take your phone call and answer any questions, any queries, any comments you have. And again, gentlemen, I appreciate you guys hanging out with us.
No problem.
And going hour number two on KMOX and KFTK, hour number one. So we were kind of talking right before the break. We're going to get into that. But we got a couple phone calls. Let's go ahead and talk to Susan. She's been waiting. Hey, Susan, guess what? You're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Yes, I'm a Odyssey listener calling from Nashville.
Perfect.
And I have a question about flooring.
Okay. What do you got?
I am possibly looking to relocate, and I've found a condominium mm-hmm. that is built on a concrete slab, mm-hmm. but the flooring is ceramic tile.
Okay.
How easy is that to replace, whether that's with engineered flooring, luxury vinyl, that sort of thing? Would that tile have to come up, or can you put other flooring on top of tile?
So my first suggestion would be to, I think, take, if it's a concrete floor, to take the tile up. Now, if the tile's very smooth and everything's very level, you could put these, what we call luxury vinyl plank products or luxury vinyl tile, LVP or LVT products on top of them. You know, but if it's a tile that has texture to it, and you put these products over the top of that, that will come through, that will transfer through to that flooring eventually. So it's a labor intensive process, but I think the tile scenario, taking it out, is probably my first recommendation. Now, the other thing that does create is you have some height issues, because that LVP, the plank product, tile product, is thinner. So you will be down lower than your casings and your any of your trims around the floor. So you're going to create a unique gap there if you're not, you know, paying attention to that in the sense of the heights and elevations of different things going on. So that's, I think, again, if it's smooth, you can put it over the top. But if it's got that texture, I would lean away from that. And I don't know if Dan's got some comments about that.
I would agree about that. You know, if you've got large, you know, grout, if you've got half-inch grout lines or whatever, you might feel some of that if you put the flooring over the top. So I think it's a case-by-case scenario. You know, you have to have somebody look at it, I think.
That's what I was going to ask. You think you should have a, you know, a flooring consultant come out and look at it and, you know, give a better idea of whether...
Yeah, it's that different eye where you're looking at those heights. I think the trim things, too, can be... We deal with that because we'll take flooring out of houses and people want that. And we'll end up having to put a whole layer of plywood here. We're typically not on a concrete slab scenario in that case. You know, where we have to build that surface up higher.
Sure.
So that the flooring goes to the right plane. You know, and if you're talking through kitchens and all those different areas, you can have cabinetry on top of the tile, all that stuff that creates some environment that's really labor intensive too to take it away. So I really think a professional is key here to look at it, but I think the condition of the tile is also an important part to be evaluating before you put this flooring over the top of it.
Does that answer your question, Susan?
Yes, one follow-up question to that. So is that something that a flooring company would, how would they price that? As in, we have to remove the tile, so that will cost X amount? Or yeah, would they base it on the square footage?
I think by square footage.
Square footage for sure is what they'd be looking at. I mean, they're going to look at the condition of what that tile is and how is it going to come up, right? I mean, some of that, it's still labor intensive popping it, and how many cabinets do they have to cut around and that kinds of stuff, because they probably wouldn't take the tile out from underneath of those cabinet areas quite honestly. So, I think it's great for a professional to come out and look at. But, I mean, you have some hopefully some good information armed with some good questions to be able to ask them and understand, you know, what the result's going to be if they do the work for you.
Yeah, I'd hate to give you some sort of advice and then, you know, mess it up. So this way you get a clear-cut answer.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right. Well, I was looking, kind of thinking from a price standpoint, if I made an offer on the house to figure in all of that on the offer. Again, from the listing online, the tile appears to be very smooth, but it's in the living areas. It's like being at a beach house.
Sure.
Where it's like, you know, 10 by 10 square foot tiles, which is in the living room, dining room, et cetera. I'm not concerned about the kitchen or the baths, but the whole main living area is tile.
I mean, I would think that if you would ask your realtor, hey, you know, I'd really like somebody to come in and look at this because this is going to factor into my decision in buying this house, I would think both realtors would allow that. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure the other realtors would like to know that information too.
Yeah, in our market right. All the time, right? So that's not an uncommon ask.
Yeah. Say it again. You were off.
That is not an uncommon ask. We do that in our market here regularly when people are looking to purchase homes and whatnot, that we go look at them for them. They might be a past client, but they might even be a new client that's really evaluating what they want to do with this house and how much is it going to cost.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right. Hey, we appreciate the phone call. Folks, again, if you want to join us, 436-7900, that's 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Paul, I want you to hang on. I got to take a hard break here in just about a minute and a half, so hang on with me, and I'll get to your phone call on the other side of the break. Again, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Brad Hagan, also Dan Martin from Mosby, hanging out with you, answering all your phone calls. And we're going to have some time for some open phones on the other side of break as well. We've talked about water heaters. We've talked about maintenance. We've talked about looking at your house. We got all sorts of more stuff to talk about. Again, we're going to go all the way till 1 o'clock today. I'll tell you what, why don't you guys go ahead. If you guys got any questions, you can't reach us here on the show. You got a comment. If you guys want, if they want to call you or email you, where can they go? And Brad, if you want to take that.
So, I mean, if you want to give us a call at 314-909-1800, you can look us up online at mosbybuildingarts.com. That's MOSBY, buildingarts.com. And I think, Dan, if you can talk about your site for the maintenance. That's
yeah, also, the service and maintenance website is Sam by Mosby. So it's SAM-BY-Mosby, MOSBY.com.
Yeah. You guys have all sorts of great information on that as well, correct?
Yeah,
there's a lot of information on the websites and Sam and about its program and really how to research, how to get us out there to look at that maintenance stuff.
Yeah, frequently asked questions is on there. And then you can also email us from there also. So, yeah, give us a call. Hit the website, Sam by Mosby. Like I said, and give us a shout.
314-909-1800, Mosby Building Arts.
That's just the way to go. And again, check out the service and maintenance side of it because that could definitely help you guys out. We'll be back after break, folks. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is the Home Improvement Show on KFTK 97.1. Greg Damon sitting in for Rich Orris today. Rich taking some time off, much needed time off for Rich. Now, you know I can't help you out answering your questions. So I got some great folks in from Mosby, and they're going to answer all your questions. Brad Hagan, he's a home consultant. Also, Dan Martin, who runs the handyman division or the service and maintenance side of it. And we've been having some great conversations about that. We would love for you to join us. Here's the phone numbers, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Speaking of that, let's go right back to the phone, as I promised Paul that we would answer his question. Hey, Paul, thanks for hanging on. I appreciate it. You're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. The ceiling fixture in my kitchen takes three bulbs, and when one burns out, I replace that, and then it's sort of a turn, do a test on it before I put the shade up, and then it seems like it's one or two other bulbs suddenly don't work. Mm. And so I put the old ones back, and I take the newest one out, and it's sort of a guessing game to try and get all three bulbs to work.
Interesting.
And most of the time, I just go with the two bulbs.
Are these are you replacing them with LED bulbs? Is that correct?
It's just the basic traditional bulb.
Oh, incandescent. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since they changed over to LED bulbs, a lot of the dimmer switches are not compatible with incandescent or halogen. So I wonder if there could be some incompatibility with the switch to the fixture. To me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for those other bulbs to go out like that, unless there's, you know, your house is cursed, you know, so maybe that's...
and I was going to say that I think there's a curse here. Well, that answers a lot of questions. Where the light switch is at, that has been there and nothing's ever been done to it in, say, 30 or 40 years. So
how did you get an incandescent bulb? Like, where did you find it?
I was going to say, you can't find them anymore.
Yeah, people want to know.
Well, somebody, when they were buying light bulbs here and that was living in the house with me, you know, they bought them in bulk years ago.
Well, I mean, I would say if it were me, I'd go out and maybe try a different bulb, try a different brand. You know, I'm not saying it's because it's incandescent or LED, but if you're trying one type of bulb, I might go try an LED bulb and just see what happens.
Would it be beneficial for him to get all three the same type of
bulb? I would get all three the same bulb. That way there's no question. It's kind of like changing batteries in your remote. If you don't know when you put the battery in, then you're just swapping out batteries and you don't know if they're still good or not. So it's better oftentimes to go in with two brand new bulbs, three brand new bulbs,
I mean, if something's continuing to happen even after the three bulbs, I think you have to, you know, think about calling somebody and looking a little deeper, right? I mean, you could have an issue with wiring. You could have an issue with a switch that has gone bad after this period of time. That's not uncommon. And for safety's sake, you know, be checking a little deeper if it's beyond your light bulb.
Maybe even just a new fixture.
And possibly a new fixture, yeah. I mean, it could be the wiring within the fixture, too. And so we don't know age of house. There's all kinds of compatibility with wiring. You know, you could have aluminum wire to copper wire, and that could be causing some issues. So there are layers here if for some reason that light bulb, if it's a little greater than the light bulb not working.
Well, this house is about... say 75 years old,
so it's probably still copper, but that's, you know, I mean, there are all kinds of things happen with those wires behind the wall over the years, and a wire nut can become loose, and, you know, give us a call, we can come out and take a look at it, 314-909-1800, after your bulb situation, if that's not working, see if we can help you out.
Sound good, Paul?
Yeah, and I wanted to ask another quick question.
Sure. Go right ahead.
I watched this old house, and they just finished a project, and it's incredible. Mm-hmm. But what I'm asking is, they put a siding on the house made from rice hulls. Are you familiar with anything like that?
I am not familiar with the product for rice hulls. I mean, you see all these new products coming out, and sometimes they, you know, use them on the coastal areas before they make it to the Midwest, quite honestly. You know, I mean, doesn't surprise me.
I wouldn't want to be shucking those rice. That's pretty small for me.
It's a lot of work, but you know, resilient product that keeps rebuilding itself. But I really don't honestly know a whole lot about it. If there's somebody out there that does, sure, call us and let us know. But always interesting to see what they're doing and trying to create these renewable products out there for siding or whatever. So,
right. Hey, Paul, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. You want to join us? 314-436-7900. Excuse me. 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers. Got plenty of time for your phone calls as well. Well, fellas, you know what? Hopefully the rain will stop at some point in time.
Fingers crossed.
You know, maybe you guys should get in the ark building business. I'm not sure.
Right.
But, you know, if it does stop, I mean, we're generating towards summertime. That means more and more folks spending time outside, enjoying their house, sitting on their patio and stuff. And I would imagine you guys are probably getting a lot of calls for, hey, you know, what? Check out our patio. What can we do to improve our patio? What kind of stuff can we have and make it more enjoyable for us to sit outside?
Yeah, I this is becoming such a popular area. It's literally a new room for your house. People are extending and taking all of those amenities, televisions, heaters, outdoor kitchens, all of this stuff to the outside of their house just so they can entertain or just relax and enjoy maybe they're not traveling as much, and that's this is their respite. This is their area that they go and enjoy. And I think that you know, the simple place this all starts is building a deck on the back of your house, or redoing a deck that's maybe tired, or maybe you have that deck that's wood and you want a maintenance free product on it, and not have to worry about every 2 years power washing it off and sealing it and those kinds of components. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of that. So questions in regards to that would be great.
Well, you know, it seemed when I was younger that, you know, it was a big thing to have a sunroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the big home improvement, put a sunroom out there with the glass all around it and stuff like that. Is that still a thing? Is that still something that folks do, or are they changing more to an outdoor space?
I think it's more of an outdoor space. I think it's also, I mean, people have sunrooms, right? And I think we're doing a lot of sunroom conversion, making that more of a four season area. We have this ability with mini split units now to add them in and really get conditioned space out there. You might need to update the windows or something, but you got this roof structure. But I also think there's a lot of, at least it's covered. We do a lot more with screens, automated screens going up and down, things that give them options, right? I mean, that it's not just this sunroom. I think the challenge with the sunroom, if anybody's had a sunroom-ish thing put on that doesn't have any conditions on it, in the middle of the summer, that thing is warm.
Right.
And
cold in the winter.
And then it's just cold enough in the winter that you're not using it, so you've limited your time. I think cold in the winter is probably a little bit easier to manage because you might have something out there. You might be able to put some heat, but boy, in the summer, if they're all closed up, you walk out the kitchen or something, out that slider into that sunroom, you're like, it's like 110 degrees in this thing.
It's a greenhouse.
Right. It's more of a greenhouse than anything, for sure. So
put your tomato plants out there.
Exactly.
You know, and I think, but I mean, we've all had outdoor spaces and entertaining, but there's so many things in the market now that are coming out there. I mean, these automatic louvered pergolas. I mean, it is changing the
coolest
space.
Coolest thing I've ever seen, man.
It is. It's changing the space so much that you can put this thing over the top of you and open it up or close it up if it's raining outside and still enjoy that space. Any kind of pergola, I use a system that has more of a canvas tarp kind of thing on it, but it reduces the temperature on that deck space so much, and you actually enjoy it and use it. But these conversions are out there and becoming such a part of our design aspect to take that space to the next level for people. So if they even have an existing deck, they might modify it with something like that and create that. And it's so many add-ons, lighting, heating, fans around. I mean, it just changes that space completely.
I talk about the pergola or the, I guess, an awning or whatever. I mean, there just seems like there's so many new designs and mm-hmm. different materials. And, you know, I mean, they're cool looking. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, so we have a composite deck on the back mm-hmm. of our house. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're in full sun.
Yep.
Constantly. So, you know, I had a one of those frame with the canvas tarps on it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that ruined.
Yep.
We're thinking about extending the roof
yep.
and making a, yep. you know, a roof over top yep. that just to kind of cut some of the heat out so we can enjoy it as well.
It just adds such a different layer to that space for you. And I think the biggest thing for me was it cooled it down. Just having that shaded area out on this deck space that got so much sun, we just found ourselves not using it and having something that, you know, goes over the top. But now, since it rains so much, it's nice to have a dry spot to go out there and enjoy. I mean,
sure.
That seems to be the right. You know, I mean, it's also, if it's covered, you can put a television out there, you can watch a ball game, you can do all of those things that, you know, you can do inside of your house, but, you know, sometimes sitting out in your backyard doing it, better view.
That's right. That's right. And then, you know, usually a lot nicer. Anyway, besides that, you know, like the kids up or the family is behind us. They mm-hmm. live up kind of on a hill. They got several young children. They watch movies and stuff out there
yeah, sure.
on their deck. And I mean, they, you know, it's like a big movie night. They
movie
invite
night,
some
right?
of the neighbors over and they, you know, sit out and they make popcorn. And I mean, it's a real big thing.
Yeah, such a different level of entertainment and creating that environment. All of a sudden, you're the hot spot to watch the movie in the neighborhood. Come on,
right?
You know?
Right.
All the drive-ins are gone, most of them. So come over to our house in our backyard. We got a 75-inch, you know.
Yeah. Don't bring your car though.
Maybe you can bring your car. Is it four-wheel drive? Maybe.
That's right.
I've seen these big inflatable movie screens that you don't get a simple projector, and all of a sudden you're out there. But you know, we talked about decks and the composite decks too. I think the big thing with decks is there is so many material differences out there now, and just between the composite materials, railing types, you know, whether you're using wood for the framing now or you're using metal for the framing of these decks for longer lives and creating a much flatter zone. But, you know, and hot tubs out on these spaces. I mean, there's so much thought that has to go into planning and designing and making these spaces work as they kind of tie back into your house. But it also creates another place for us that we have to check maintenance things and deal with. You know, if you have an old deck that, you know, is tired, I mean, the deck code book, when it originally was kind of back here 20-something years ago, was a few pages. Now the deck code book is 20 pages long because of things that did happen. And if you have a deck on the side of your house, you might have a liability and you need to be looking at it and checking it, make sure ledgers are attached well, make sure framing is done correctly, and making sure that thing is tied together as it should be.
Yep.
And I think you could speak to seeing some of these things as we have these outdoor components.
Well, we're going to take a break before that, so let's go ahead and take care of that. Brad Hagan, Dan Martin in the house from Mosby, and they're answering all your questions. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. You're listening to KFTK 97.1. We'll be back. Hey, welcome back. It is the Home Improvement Show here on 97.1 FM Talk. Greg Damon sitting in for Rich Orris today. Guess what? I can't answer your questions, but I got some great people in from Mosby. We have Dan Martin. He runs our handyman division, the service and maintenance side, and also Brad Hagan. He's a home consultant. And again, fellas, thanks for hanging out with us today. I mean, I'm telling you what, it just goes by so fast,
you know,
when you're hanging out and having fun and doing this. So we were talking about decks beforehand. I wanted to ask you real quick. Excuse me. These allergies are killing me, telling you.
Yep.
I wanted to, you know, we talked about soil in the first part of the show, but what about your decking? Because the soil's moving underneath your deck as well. We have a low deck. We're only, you know, 3 feet off the ground on the back of our deck. But, you know, I can see where some of the decking is kind of dipping down a little bit, and I'm assuming the soil is either eroding or has changed underneath it, and that's something that probably should be checked from time to time.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, some of these older decks, you know, weren't even built on, you know, concrete piers. You know, I saw a deck the other day. The posts were literally sitting on gravel.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, you could put a level on the deck and see that it was sagging. But there again, people weren't always, you know, paying attention to that. So, if it's an older deck and it hasn't been sealed or it hasn't had new composites put on there or whatever, then it's sitting outside all the time. The UV, the heat, the moisture is eating these things up. And if you're not, you know, putting stain on it or whatever every 3 or 3 to 5 years, then it's going to start getting beat up for sure.
I would assume. I mean, I look at these neighbors and stuff that have decks, elevated decks, that, you know, probably the wood expanding and contracting. I'm assuming that band board probably becomes loose at times or rots away or something like that.
Yeah, they didn't always, you know, some of these deck builders, you know, if they were just, you know, fly-by-night guys, they didn't flash it. They didn't use the right, you know, anchors. They didn't use stainless steel or galvanized. So, yeah, just a matter of time before these fail.
Yeah, these decks are sometimes they're ticking time bombs. I mean, that's not to scare anybody. It just is the fact that some guy went in there and put a ledger in and just ran nails into it.
Yeah.
And over time, as you said, expanded and contracting coming off, and it doesn't have the right lag or bolt through. I mean, and that code has changed tremendously on how we attach that ledger board to the house. It's a science now in a lot of ways, and flashing it appropriately and making sure that particular piece stays dry is super important, because if you get water trapped behind there, all of a sudden you're rotten to the inside of the house. You're not even worried about the ledger. You're worried about structure going in because it's not doing it correctly in regards to getting water away or through there to let it dry.
Yeah, I would imagine most decks still are obviously wood, but, you know, that's got to be a thing that it does wear out, you know, no matter how much you use it, as you said, with the sun and everything else, it does wear out at some point in time with all the weather.
Yeah, you know, and when we do evaluations, you know, there again, not everybody is seeing where the rotten wood is on the deck, you know, maybe on a major structural piece. And so, you know, we would come out and eyeball it and figure out that it's like, you know, you've got a major problem on this side and maybe you could replace this board or that board and be okay, mm-hmm. or recommend, you know, a replacement.
Yeah, you always hear about the apartment buildings, you know, where some shoddy person has put up a deck and then, you know, they put too many people on it and it falls off and, you know, injures a bunch of people or worse yet, you know, kills them. And that's really something that many, I guarantee you, many people don't think about it. I just got my grill out there. I just, you know, hang out and grill. But again, that stuff just kind of wears out.
It does. And if, you know, if you're adding, like say you want to add a, you know, big green egg or something, that's way heavier. Or some people might think that they can put a hot tub out there.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no way that just a regular deck is built for that. You know, even some people would just put up a blow-up pool on their back patio,
sure.
which
have
is what I have.
There, right?
But, yeah, it's, you know, it's load-bearing. It's you know, and if it's weathered, then it's like you said, a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, and I think the deck portion of this is changing. We'll see even 5 to 10 years down the road what materials we're going to be using because – I mean, metal framing is becoming such a new thing. It's newer to the market, just like composite decking was. And we'll see all this stuff kind of change pace and find its, you know, what are we actually going to do here? But, you know, lumber has changed since COVID, where we're getting lumber. All that stuff is changing and sourcing this stuff. And using composite material means you got a frame closer together. It's not 16 inches on center anymore. It's now 12 inches on center because those deck boards aren't as resilient. And
don't you have to do that for wood? Because are there any straight pieces of wood anymore?
Yeah, right. This is pretty hard to find out.
Sorry, that's a whole
thing. Go search in some of those places sometimes. It's like, oh. But yeah, for sure. They make pretty good hockey sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Well, they're all composite today, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, for sure.
But let's talk to Rick. Rick's been hanging on. Hey, Rick, guess what? You are up next here on the Home Improvement Show. Rick, you're on air.
Oh, hey, how are you, guys? Hey. Quick question. I've got actually two, but I'm going to go real quick for you. My girlfriend has a house in over by Ted Drew's, you know, in that, what is it, Holly Hills, whatever. It's an older home. It's got the concrete tile roof, pretty robust. The bathroom upstairs has no exhaust in there. It's a window, and it's for a variety of reasons. I said, you got to get an exhaust in here. A, you can't leave the window, you know, with she's got her daughter there and everything else. So here's my long-winded question. I had a guy look at it, and then I climbed kind of up in the attic, which isn't the easiest to get to, but it's accessible if I can get my body up in there. Mm-hmm. He wants to take the vent out the top of the roof and then take the tiles off and put this. But why? What would prohibit me, because I was up from taking it to the side where it's boards, you know, on the side mm-hmm. of the house,
sure.
and just run a flex, you know, run that flex stuff I saw at Home Depot and over there and then just pop it out there? Or does it have to go straight up?
Well, I think you're trying to create the least path of resistance. Now, a few things going on when we vent bathrooms that you should pay attention to in regards to that pipe going up in the attic space, and that is that we typically will insulate that pipe. So you want to make sure that you're buying something that has insulation on it, or you can put it around that pipe, because during the winter you'll get a lot of condensation, even some in the summer, but it's more in the winter when you're flushing that hot air or something, if you're taking a hot shower
right.
And it will drip back down. So a lot of times that we do that, or we'll find people's fans leaking water back in. I don't know the distance. I think that's the biggest thing. The shortest run to the outside is the best, but in a tile roof application, that's a little tough because you do, or concrete tile roof, you pull that tile off, you know, you really should have a roofer that knows how to do that and flash it.
Exactly, which, right.
Which, it's got an investment to it, for sure, to make sure that's done right. But if you're at a long distance, I think that would be my biggest challenge, that I would opt for going straight up. If you're,
I'm thinking
close,
8 feet, if that helps.
Yeah, I think it's that's probably fine. Take a 90, go to where the gable vent or something like that is on the on the end, and just put it there and flush it out that way. That should work for you.
Would it be better to use like a 45 instead of a 90, so you don't have that? That bend right there?
Yeah, possibly you can create that longer kind of softer bend, slope. Right? So you're just creating less of a resistance. I mean, because...
Well, for code, does it have to be rigid? Like, because I was thinking like the flexible stuff, you know, the stuff you can bend around, like almost like dryer duct. Is that...
I think for code, you're definitely better off using a rigid pipe, and some of that rigid pipe you can buy with... insulation inside of it in sections.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a more expensive than the slint.
That flex stuff will wear out after a while.
Yeah, I mean, especially if there are people don't appreciate how hot it gets up there, and it will affect the materials of that flex stuff for sure. I mean, it's 130 degrees up there in that attic in the summer, and it will that stuff will get brittle, crack, and it won't be performing as it should. That's the reason for the metal.
Cool. And then last question that came up with them, because we're doing odds and ends all over this place. They have a water filter on the fridge, but now, you know, they're saying, well, we need a whole house. They're seeing commercials. What is your opinion? Like, do on a whole house water filters? It's City of St. Louis water. So in like St. Louis County, I don't know. I'm sure our water's safe, but they're saying, well, if you shower in it, they're seeing things. It's got metal. You know, I'm starting to get that. And those look like they're fairly expensive systems in their cell, you know, putting that in. So
they are. I think you got different layers there, and you got to know what kind of pipes are in that house. I mean, you could have some galvanized pipes that are causing some of that debris to come off. If this is something they've just moved into in a house that's been sitting for a while as well, you can sometimes get debris, whether that's coming out of the water heater, as we were talking a little bit about earlier. So filtration, I mean, sometimes you can put filtration systems just underneath the sink. You know, those whole house ones, you're filtering everything. And so you have a lot more maintenance and cost involved in that as well. And maybe you don't need to be filtering the water that is maybe coming out of your shower. Just kind of ultimate things here. I mean, we put filters on those systems sometimes when somebody has different components in their shower, because there's hot water filters that are taking sediment things out so they don't clog up. A lot of different layers to this. But if you're talking drinking water, I think I would look at underneath the sink scenarios. And you know, inline fridge, it all depends on how old it is. I mean, some of that stuff does get, you know, you get some weird tastes out of those waters after they've been running for a while as well, because the filters, even if you put a new filter in there, you still got some stuff in the lines as well.
Yep. All right, Rick, hope that helps. And folks, we're going to take our last break as we round out to the top of the hour here on the Home Improvement Show. Brad Hagan, Dan Martin in the house answering all your questions. If you got a question, we got some time for you. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the numbers. We'll be back after these.
Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
Hey, welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris taking some time off. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair. Hey, don't worry, though. We got some great folks in from Mosby answering all your questions. Dan Martin, he runs our handyman division, and Brad Hagan, he's a home consultant. If you got, we got some time left. If you want to ask a question, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers. If you want to get on, we do have a few minutes before the top of the hour. If you'd like to ask a question, these guys chomping at the bit here, ready to answer any questions. Sitting on the edge of their chair.
Literally.
That's right. Well, guys, I wanted to talk a little about, you know, we've talked about home inspections. We kind of talked about, you know, the handyman service, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about, because as I said, you know, in my house, the only two TV channels we get are the Home Improvement channels and the Food Network. My wife has a remote, but, you know, that's the only reason we were able to get those. But, you know, for me, first of all, it really seems amazing, and it happens every time these folks, they go to make a bid on a house, they buy this house, they start doing their home improvements, mm-hmm. and lo and behold, there's some massive problem that they have that they can't believe that there's this massive problem in that. And that's really something that, as we talked about the handyman service, getting a home consultant come out and taking a look at it, and this may be something where you want to get an inspection and get that done first.
Especially if you're not aware of, you know, a lot of things that are behind the walls or how things are made and built, you know, you just don't have the trained eye we talked about, you know. So, you know, when we come out and do an evaluation, we do, you know, check water pressure, temperature, you know, things like that, you know, things that might mess up a faucet or a valve, you know, so, and make recommendations on keeping it tight. So, yeah.
Yeah, you never know about, you know, water getting in somewhere in the house and maybe going down a wall. You don't know that. Yep. You can't see it. And, you know, all of a sudden there's water damage or termite infestation or, or something even structural to where, you know, you have to have a structural engineer come out.
I had a client the other day that showed me a basement sill in the basement that had termite damage in it. But they had a home inspection, you know, just a very thorough home inspection, which caught it. But they were able to go ahead and get treatment on the house, you know, because it was caught ahead of time. So any of those things that you can catch ahead of time are key to maintaining your investment.
Yeah. Drama's great for TV.
I can't believe they get it done in a half hour.
Oh, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
You know.
But drama is great for TV, but I think that drama's real. That drama is real, but I think Mosby and, you know, if we talk a little bit about our design build process, that we want that drama to come out so we aren't surprised when we are doing a project for you. And it's why planning and taking the time to go through all these steps is so
thorough inspecting.
Yeah. And I mean, nobody has x-ray vision, and some of those things are still going to happen, but ultimately we want to know those things. We want to know, right, does the house have enough power to satisfy what your project is wanting to do? That's a big issue right now, because people have electric vehicles that are putting a different demand on the house that wasn't once there. And all of a sudden you got a swimming pool and that, and you live in an area that has electric water heaters and heat and all that stuff. And then that's growing, but that's in the TV show. That's great to say, oh my gosh, look at this, look what we found. And it does create great television, but for us, it is our job to help you get through that, because you also have a better understanding of your investment and your budget going into this, and a little bit more relaxation on the project, right? You know what it's going to cost, and it's very important. So that stuff does happen, but I think we manage it differently than what they do on the television shows. And yes, it takes longer than 30 minutes. So
I always give my wife trouble about that. You know, it's like, wait, I guess they found something else, right?
Yeah, right. How are we going to do this in 30 minutes?
Right,
still?
Exactly. So, but as far as, you know, we kind of talked about decks, and I really, Brad, I just kind of want to hit on this real quick. All sorts of new materials we talked about outside, but inside too. Bathrooms, kitchens.
Gosh, yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's just endless as far as different types of materials, different types of colors, different types of everything, from flooring to cabinetry to countertops, everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's so... I live in an older area, and you go through and, you know, everybody in my neighborhood has the same newel post on their staircase, right? I mean, that's just the way it was when these houses were built. And if today, I mean, the options are endless, and it really does takes a team to kind of sort through that. It is overwhelming to go pick out tile. Oh my gosh, I'm just, you know, I mean, but having somebody with you that you kind of put your ideas in front of them, and they're guiding you and helping you and assisting you get to that look that you want to have, and they can show it to you on our screen in 3D to make sure that you're like, that's wow, I really like that. I can visually see that and understand what I'm going to get. You're going to see that before you buy it. Is such a great feeling in the sense of the process versus, oh, here's a stack of this stuff. Sure, we're going to buy those things for you, and you know, we'll get your project done. But
see, I to me, it doesn't matter. As long as it's structurally good, I'm good with whatever. I could care less. I mean, I'd rather have a 7-car garage on 1-room house. My wife is completely opposite.
I was
going
to say, you
that.
Have a wife. I think there's some places, right. There's signs outside of places that say, are you licensed to make these decisions for all of us?
I'm not allowed to make decisions on anything anymore.
But no, it's great. I think, you know, all those materials, all these projects that we do, bathrooms, kitchens, you know, we have promotions going on right now and payment plans to help you get these projects done. So make sure to check on our website, mosbybuildingarts.com, or give us a call at 314-909-1800. Get us scheduled to come out and take a look for you.
And Sam by Mosby, SAM-BY-Mosby.com.
And again, that's a contract service where you can get it for your parents. You know, if your parents stand in, you know, you're finding more and more people staying in their house longer, maybe need some help, especially if you're out of town or, you know, you got a busy family of your own. Man, this is the kind of time to help somebody out, that's for sure.
Yeah,
all right, give me the website again and a phone number. We're almost out of time.
Phone number is 314-909-1800. And then the website is mosbybuildingarts.com, M-O-S-B-Y, buildingarts.com.
Folks, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.